The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros. We got the old college football championship preview show, as well as the bowl recap show. And as always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and getting into the action today with MyBookie.com. Don't forget to use that promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. Did you watch any of these bowl games, Anthony?
Yeah.
Like a lot of them? Did you watch a lot of them this year? I didn't either.
No, I watched I watched Penn State wreck Utah. I watched Alabama and K-State because I was just interested what was going to happen there.
Actually, I wanted to see if those kids actually played, because that was there was a rumor about that. I thought for sure, because I didn't bet on it. I always place my bets in Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Join, it's free. The only rule is don't be an asshole. You also posted something that I want to talk about too, mm-hmm. where you said don't report any posts. Tell the audience why that's important in a private group.
For a variety of reasons, but it brings attention from Facebook on the group, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've all read about all the shit that happened on Twitter. It's all the same stuff happens on Facebook and YouTube and all these other places as well. Even when you use the report to an admin of the group feature, it still signals to Facebook that something is wrong with that group.
Got it.
So, some fucking loser piece of shit reported it, not to the admins, but reported it to Facebook.
We
get an alert anytime that happens as the admins of the group. So I drill down to see what he reported, and it was some joke about Penn State fucking
little kids,
Sandusky. Utah is like Sandusky or some shit like that. I don't care.
It's a pretty stock standard joke.
Fucking joke. And he was like trying to get into an argument about it with me. So I banned him from every Drinking Bros group because you're a cunt and fuck you.
Yep.
I don't care about you or your support for the show if you're going to act like a cunt. The end.
Yeah.
And then the other thing to address in the Facebook group is, and this is how it wasn't a frivolous banning. Multiple fucking stupid bitches in that group have been on this anti-SEC tirade and just saying the dumbest shit, making like personal remarks and stuff. I didn't ban any of them.
Yeah.
They can say whatever the fuck they want. I don't care.
Sure.
That's not what it's about. It's not about personal ego or vengeance against anybody or any of that bullshit, because I don't care. Don't fuck with the group.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna get banned.
And it's pretty simple. Yeah. Those rules are pretty easy. And if you report it, that's how they bring down an entire group. And I think right now we got 10,000 people in there. So it's a lot. And we don't have to ban very many people.
Yeah, it's rare.
I think this year, I don't know, maybe two or three tops. One guy was commenting on Texas too many times on just like everybody's posts that had nothing to do with anything related to Texas or anything. We're just like, hey, bro, I know it's your favorite team, but you just let whatever conversation's going on go on.
Yeah.
And then whoever that was... Because you can't fucking report people.
Well, Connor Hulton is the Ohio State fan who just got blacked out and started making crazy ass all caps misspelled posts.
I saw that guy.
That shit's hilarious.
I don't know him, by the way.
I don't either, but it was fucking funny.
I don't know him, by the way.
It was super funny. And people just lit him up as they should, right?
Like, sure.
This is the free market. You come in here and you say a bunch of dumb shit, and people are going to light you up for it, and I'm going to let it all happen because it's funny to me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Just don't report any of it, and then just don't be a fucking cunts. So you're good to go there. But with Alabama, so I turned on that game. Full disclosure, because again, in that group, I place all of my bet slips there. So that way, if I win, if I lose, you can see it. You can make fun of me, or you can cheer on the victories, all that stuff. I don't care. But at least you know what I'm betting is honest, because I don't bet a lot of these games. I don't bet a lot of these bowl games. I've talked about it in the past, too, with like the mediocre teams and all that shit. I don't bet those because they're too hard to bet. I am mostly a top 20 guy. When Dan and I decided to do this show and my bookie came on as the sponsor, our only stipulation of my bookie was we don't want to be like every other sports show where you're forced to pick every single game winners for all of this shit, because there's people at home that listen and put real money on it. If I don't feel good about it and I'm not going to actually put money on it, then I don't want to have to be forced into making a pick.
Yeah.
But just because I didn't bet on some of these games, I watched them. So the Alabama game I did watch as well, more out of curiosity for if those kids would actually play more than one series.
Yeah, and they did.
They played the whole game.
I watched until the first Alabama score in the third quarter. I'm like, all right, this is done. Because they were already up 21-10, and
it was a bloodbath.
They scored as soon as they scored again in the third. I'm like, all right, they're not going to let up here. So there's no K-State has no shot at winning.
And
this
they
game.
Were down 10-0. Yeah, K-State was up 10-0.
Yeah, it was a pick six or a fumble recovery.
It was a defensive score, but you could get Alabama live down 10-0 at even odds.
Yeah,
that's so funny. So when I got there, I took my this because it was on a Saturday morning. This was super early on New Year's Eve. I took the kids out to. There's a place called Epic Fun here in Austin. You play like video games and skee ball and stuff like that. So when I got to, because we went to Pluckers, which is directly next door for lunch.
Your favorite.
I don't mind. Look, it's the only wing place we have and it's fine. It's number two in Austin, but that's not saying a lot. Tommy Want Wingy is really fucking good. And that's a hard one. Far and away. That's one of the best wing places I've been to in America, it's amazing. But by the time I got there, this game was 42-17, so I didn't see that. And it was in the third quarter, and I was like, oh, shit, Alabama played. But I was trying to rush my kids along here. I was like, go ahead and pick out the toys that you want with the tickets, because I wanted to see if they were still playing. Now, Bryce Young was in this game in the fourth quarter I was watching it.
This is he had a good season overall. It's funny to say that this was something of a rebuilding year for Alabama.
Which it was.
They didn't have the receivers they usually have.
I've said this weeks ago. I thought this was a down year for the SEC, but like it's because Bryce Young didn't have any wide receivers. Yeah. It's not that he's not great. I still take him, and I've said this for weeks, I still take him number one in the draft. This is the best quarterback in this class.
He looked...
in my opinion, but it's his character, too. And I know you're big on character.
That's the only thing I care about. I mean, obviously...
To play an entire game that is meaningless and you're up... And again, I just walked in the fourth quarter. It was 42-17 at this point, and you're still in the game and playing and competing, and I think he threw one more touchdown. Saban didn't pull him out until about 4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, he's it's hard to tell if a college quarterback is going to be good in the NFL. I think he's going to be good.
I do too.
Mostly because of his pocket awareness. And I think this year not having the same receiver talent he usually does is probably going to be a benefit to him long term.
Well, and that's the knock on this Will Levis kid, right? So
He definitely didn't have any receivers either.
Well, right? And he didn't play. He sat out the bowl game, which is the difference, okay?
Well, the difference is that was a meaning. Look, there's a difference between a New Year's Six Bowl and whatever the fuck Kentucky was involved in.
Yeah. Iowa.
The Trans-Perfect Music City Bowl.
It was a back-to-back bowl game against Iowa, too. Like, who wants that?
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that. I didn't watch one single snap of that. It says here, Iowa won 21-0. Congratulations. But going back to this SEC thing, especially what you were saying regarding that fan or people posting and everything else, besides the Big Six games, you can throw the conferences out the fucking window to me. Like, it doesn't really matter. Unless you're playing for something. Like, this Bryce Young thing, this is what college football should be about. He was the most impressive out of anybody this entire bowl season to me where I'm
going to disagree with you there.
Why? He didn't have anything to play for. Like this, okay, he had a gajillion dollars on the line.
Right.
And it takes a lot of brass to do it, man, to play a full game against Kansas State and you're up by 40 fucking points in the third quarter. Like,
I would agree character wise, but I would say the most impressive quarterback this bowl season is your quarterback at Ohio State.
Yeah, he looked great.
He looked great, but it's the same numbers. Like, he puts those numbers up every single
against
game.
The best defense in the country.
Well, supposedly, right? And we'll get to that game, but like, but those, his numbers weren't different. The numbers that they score per game weren't different. It was a 4-point difference for those guys. Like, to me, with Bryce Young with zero wide receivers, to put up 5 touchdowns and 321 was amazing. And if we're just going straight quarterbacks, at number two, I look, I've sucked this guy's dick all year. I picked him to win the Heisman. I think the kid out of USC is the closest thing I've seen to Pat Mahomes. And we didn't even see Pat Mahomes in college. He just looks like Pat Mahomes now.
Caleb Williams.
He had 500 fucking yards in that game.
And he lost.
Classic Lincoln Riley.
It's not Lincoln Riley.
Tulane, baby.
It is a guy named Alex Grinch. Alex Grinch is the defensive coordinator that they keep hiring over and over again.
And it's tragic that someone puts a gun in Lincoln Riley's mouth and makes him hire Alex Grinch.
I don't think that they had a choice because of when he got hired. Like, if you remember,
he keeps the guy. He picks the guy.
Lincoln Riley, though, didn't go to USC until last. Ohio State fired him. He was there. He was terrible at Ohio State. He was terrible at Oklahoma. He's terrible at USC. Alex Grinch should not be a coach. Look, Ohio State's guilty of it, too. He was the defensive coordinator for 2 years. It was the worst defense we had in the history of our program.
This is the second awful defensive coordinator in a row that has worked for Lincoln Riley. Yeah.
16 points in the last 4 minutes,
He's awful. Look, the guy should be thrown into the ocean.
They got a safety, though.
Lincoln Riley can recruit his ass off. He's probably top 4 best recruiters in the nation. All they're missing is a defensive coordinator. I don't know how Alex Grinch keeps failing upwards and keeps getting these jobs from people. Again, Ohio State is guilty too. They hired him for 2 fucking years on this goddamn team.
I think it's because he got the Leach stamp of approval.
From like, who?
Wazoo. When Leach was at Wazoo, he had Grinch, and that's kind of his come up.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Okay. I didn't know about his back history, but either way, quarterback wise, that's probably onesie twosie for me. We're like, dude, if I'm the Falcons, and this is a fan dreaming out loud here, just throw all your games next year and get fucking homeboy out of USC, and let's just call it a day. You can build an entire franchise around that guy. Everything else, I think we can both agree, Bryce Young is probably going one to the Texans.
Right now, everybody's got Will Levis going in that spot. Maybe this bowl season changed it. I don't know, but
man,
I like the way that the way Bryce Young moves in the pocket is something that you can work with as an NFL guy.
Yes,
right. The way he reads progressions, you can work with.
Yeah,
forget about like the we have this idea that a quarterback is 6'3", you know, 210 pounds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He looks a certain way, confident, whatever the fuck. He's swag. I don't know what the fuck people say.
Yeah.
Bryce Young shows up when it matters. He's never fucking collapsed in a big game like some of these other guys have, right? I mean, that's kind of the rub on your guy. Until this time.
I think with CJ Stroud, and look, I said this for 2 years about him now, he looks the part of a quarterback, but is there the killer like a Caleb Williams or a Bryce Young in his eyes?
Or Joe Burrow. I mean, everybody knew Joe Burrow was going to be a great quarterback in the NFL before he got drafted, but why? Because he did have the best college season of all time, but only one.
Only one. Right? He wasn't good the year before, and he wasn't good enough to start for Ohio State. Yeah. So, like,
but it's the intangibles that are very obvious that are hard to define that Joe Burrow has that I see in Bryce Young, and I don't see him in any of these other quarterbacks.
I don't either. And so, like,
I could be wrong. I mean, Caleb Williams has a lot of athletic talent. There's no question.
Well, look, Caleb Williams can just fucking do everything,
and he's still got another year,
but he's doing things that are like, and I wonder if I mean, obviously he plays, but that guy's so goddamn good that like that could be a generational quarterback. But as far as one, if it were the Falcons, yes, you take Bryce Young. It is not, it is the Texans. They've got him going there, but who knows?
I bet you they take Will Levis.
It wouldn't surprise
me. It's the Texans, man.
Yeah.
They're fucking dumb.
Yeah.
They're terrible drafting.
And then, look, if you're Bryce Young, do you even want to go play for the Texans?
Fuck, nobody wants to go there.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go there. So I don't even know if that's necessarily a bad thing for him. But I watched that game. As far as the other games go, though, I didn't really watch them, to be honest with you. Like, I'm kind of breezing through here because I didn't really bet these. Like, Baylor lost to Air Force. I don't really know why.
It was cold as fuck, and it was in Fort Worth, cold as hell, and you don't want to play against an academy when it's really cold.
Okay. And so what? They scored a lot of points. Typically, those teams don't score a lot of points. 30? Air Force put up 30 on this team? Troy, UTSA. Now, that's two ranked teams, and that's fine. It's 18-12. I didn't see that either. Florida, I'm assuming this was 30-3. Would Richardson sit out? He did. Yeah. He was out. Oh, that's right. And the other guy rapes, or he was in a kiddie porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida kicked a field goal with, like, I don't know, a little time left in the fourth quarter to not get shut out.
Which keeps their streak alive.
Yeah.
They had, like, a weird streak. They had the longest.
It was embarrassing.
Okay. A lot of these games. I mean, Louisville beats Cincinnati 24-7. I didn't watch that, but Cincinnati's coach left. What I was surprised to see was it's Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell went to Wisconsin and coached the fucking bowl game.
And won.
And, Luke Fickell's a really goddamn good coach. Yeah. You wait. That team is going to be fucking good, dude. They beat somebody they weren't supposed to.
Wisconsin? Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
No, Oklahoma State's in a fucking free fall.
Yeah, they're losing so is
Wisconsin.
Right now.
Wisconsin didn't have a good year, man. They were off this year.
Wisconsin didn't have a good year, but Oklahoma State's last like eight games it's fucking brutal.
And everyone's entering the transfer portal right now.
Everybody. So like with a lot of these games, and I told you just to stay tuned until like right before kickoff if you were going to bet them. But like I didn't bet any of these games.
All these games you got a live bet.
Yeah, Boise State, North Texas. Like I didn't watch that. Marshall, UConn. I didn't watch that. Eastern Michigan, San Jose State, didn't watch that. Liberty, Toledo, didn't watch that. Liberty lost, huh? Did they? Oh, that's right. They lost their coach, right? Hugh Freeze is gone. So, and that's what's difficult about all these games. And I wonder if you go to 12, if they kind of keep going on after this.
Well, for a lot of these games, the New Year's Six games especially, like Penn... The drumming that Penn State put on Utah, this would be a bracketed game in the new playoff structure.
To be fair, it was tied when Cam Rising got hurt.
Fair, but he wasn't doing that much, was he?
He was.
They scored 0 points in the first quarter. I mean, he looked okay, but he wasn't like blowing it up or anything. Penn State's offense was better than I thought it was going to be.
Penn State has been good all year. I've said it all year that they're a good team. They only have two losses. It was Ohio State and Michigan. Everybody else, they fucking rolled all year long. I don't
should have lost to Purdue.
What's that?
They should have lost to Purdue week one.
I didn't see the Purdue Penn State game week one. Forgive me. Who do we got here? Houston versus Louisiana. Nothing there. I don't. They were 6-6. Louisiana. They're playing Houston. Houston was ranked at one point.
Well, start the season. They were a massive disappointment.
So Bob, your team Missouri here backed out of the Kansas game. Yep. To play Wake Forest. Not Sam Hartman cowards. Actually played in this game.
Not accurate. Hartman played even though he's transferring.
Yeah, so that's odd. Hartman, shit.
McCall did that at Coastal,
three
too.
Touchdowns. Let's see here. Middle Tennessee, San Diego State didn't watch this game. New Mexico State, Bowling Green didn't watch that game. Georgia Southern, Buffalo didn't watch that game. Memphis, Utah State, nothing. Yes, this one we called at least just to do it. Eastern Carolina versus Coastal Carolina.
Pirates.
Yeah. Their fans do show up.
They care.
They do, dude. And in Wilmington, Dan and I and Giorgio will tell you this too, man. They really fucking care. So like, they showed up and we picked them on the show. It was a joke, but they ended up winning. Wisconsin beat Oklahoma State. Oregon beats North Carolina. Maykid actually played. He's still, that's right. He's a freshman. Mm-hmm. He's there. UCF. And I said they would lose to Duke and they lost to Duke bad.
They stink.
Yeah. They're a terrible team here. Plumlee's Kansas. Terrible. Oh, Kansas and Arkansas. All right. I didn't see this game, but we got overtime there. 55-53.
Massive comeback by Kansas.
They were getting blown the fuck out.
And they came back and forced triple overtime.
Yeah. 55-53 in that one.
Well,
yeah.
On a brutal last play, but yeah.
Yeah. Texas Ole Miss. Texas Tech, forgive me, Ole Miss. Didn't watch that one. They got blown the fuck out there.
Yeah, Tech won.
Man, Lane Kiffin. 8-5 is not great, and they just gave him an extension and more money there. Texas Washington. So we watched this. This game was on, was at a neighbor's house. They're Texas fans. They had this on, and well, Texas lost again. What happens with Quinn Ewers? Let me ask you that.
I don't know, man. Archie Manning is coming in next year. I don't know if they fucking have a quarterback competition or if he redshirts or what. I guess it probably depends on how things go, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, you got the top QB recruit in the nation here, and then the top one from the year before who didn't have that great of a year, but he's on all this NIL money. You're probably losing one of them depending upon who doesn't start, right? Because Quinn Ewers, unless he has an all-world season next year, doesn't probably go pro, right?
I don't know if it would be a good idea. He'll still be 19 years old then.
Yes, right.
Like, I don't think any team would draft him. So yeah, he's got two more years.
But it would be his third year.
You can't.
No, you just have to be 3 years out of high school.
3 years out of high school.
There's no age requirement. It's the number of years since you graduated high school.
Yeah, because there's a really young kid who was the youngest NFL player. I think he had just turned 20 or something like that. So he'll be right in line with that. Because he went there early, but I'm not sure what they do there. Now, in fairness to Texas, I know Bijan Robinson and their best defender sat out. Those guys are getting drafted. Depending upon where the Falcons are, throw Bijan. We need everything on that goddamn team. But
Penix is coming back next year for Washington.
Penix is rising, and I think that's a good move for him. Now, I watched him play a lot at Indiana, obviously because he was playing Ohio State. I thought he was a really good quarterback. This, you know, Pac-12 system here where you can throw for 400 yards a game certainly improves your draft stock, and I get it. There is, you know, four quarterbacks ahead of him that are supposed to go in the first round this year. So I understand why he's coming back. That makes sense. Because if you're going to draft Richardson, today, I looked at the big board today. They had Richardson going at like 19 still today. And I don't know what to do with that kid. I mean, he's fast and it's fun, but he can kind of throw the ball, kind of not.
We haven't really seen him on a fucking team.
Yeah.
That has anything to, who knows, man? I mean, it's not any dumber than taking Trey Lance.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's worth a shot, I guess, if you're in the 20s, maybe.
No, I don't think he'll be a first round draft pick.
And they've got him in 19 right now.
There's no fucking way. He's probably a late second or early third round draft pick.
That's what I think. He should be. He should be.
Quarterbacks, though, they get, you know, overvalued.
They do, but it's like, man, what do you do with a kid who's not even 50% throwing? And yet, he's the fastest dude on the planet.
As long as he looks good in shorts, he'll get drafted.
He will, and he's going to look good on the combine. I can promise you that, because that's where he's really going to shine. The fucking NFL combine.
Same with Levis.
Yes, same. Levis at the combine, the guy is massive.
Yeah, but that's like trying to gauge how good somebody is at war by watching them at the fucking gun range.
Right.
Because when you go to war, it's a two-way gun range. See how that works? When there's a fucking 260-pound dude barreling towards you out of your peripheral and you're still going through your three progressions and your check down, can you still do it?
Yeah.
And the answer is probably no. Most human beings can't do it.
Right.
And there's only a couple that can really do it well. Even in the NFL, there's only a couple that can really do it well.
Yeah.
So to spend a because there's a lot of dudes who are great edge rushers. There's a lot of dudes who are great offensive tackles. There are a lot of dudes who are great fucking linebackers and receivers. There's a lot of those in the NFL. So to spend a first round draft pick on a guy that might be able to do it at quarterback, that's fucking stupid.
I agree.
That doesn't make any goddamn sense to me at all. I'm with
you. And if let's say it's my favorite team that does it, I would be so fucking pissed off unless it paid off later on down the road. But I don't think it will.
When has it ever paid off?
I can't remember it. Because Trey Lance is a perfect example. We knew nothing about him. Yeah, I think he had 8 games total is all he played. And then he shows up, gets drafted third by the 49ers. And then he's gone. Like
Josh Allen,
though, I watched at Wyoming. Like, I got to see actual games of him. And just, I mean, the way he was able to throw a ball 60 yards down the field, because he had to every single time. And he was playing for Wyoming, so everybody was coming after him. I thought he was going to be good. That was on that infamous NFL draft show where I had the meltdown and we had to burn the episode. I'm kidding. No, the power went out. But Josh Allen, I thought, was going to be good. I think Will Levis is going to be good. We've just never seen him with any wide receivers there. And let's face it, Kentucky was a running back team forever. They've never had a quarterback, so who knows? Tennessee, Clemson. Now, I popped this game on here. This was the Orange Bowl. So I watched the Big Six games. Tennessee, Clemson, all backup players for Tennessee, and then they beat the shit out of Clemson. Clemson did a lot of shit, though, that was way out of their comfort zone, and I don't know why Dabo Swinney was faking punts, field goals, all that shit. Like, he typically doesn't do that type of stuff.
I don't know, just fucking around having fun, I guess.
I guess so. But
maybe making it a bit of a clown show to take some of the pressure off Klubnik
going into next year.
Yeah,
maybe. they got beat by Tennessee, and that game wasn't close. I had money on that game, and I was not amped about it. And I had that teased up pretty high too. I mean, it was like 12.5, and they didn't even fucking cover that. And that's when I was like, Jesus Christ, fuck these bowl games. Pittsburgh, UCLA, didn't watch that game.
Massive comeback by Pitt.
Yeah, it says 16-7 here in the fourth quarter. Congratulations to those guys. That wide receiver from UCLA is going pro. That's it for him. That was his last game then, because he was a senior. Notre Dame versus South Carolina. This
really
was
good game.
This was a good game. I had this on. Some friends of mine were Notre Dame fans in the neighborhood, so we watched it, and Notre Dame looked decent. I mean, this wasn't really that close.
No, both of these teams looked really good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was a fun game to watch.
South Carolina was up big, though. You could tell they don't have a whole lot of veteran leadership on that team, because they were up pretty big and they just could not hold on to it.
Yeah.
Notre Dame came back and carved them up pretty good.
But South Carolina, after watching this game, and the way that they finished their season, they might be pretty fucking good next year.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler's coming back. He's not going pro.
No, he's never going pro.
No. A lot of these athletes go pro in something else.
Yeah.
Next up was Maryland, NC State. Didn't bother.
No.
Ohio.
This was not a game that anybody should have watched.
No.
Maryland?
No. 16-12. They won. Says they won 16-12. I didn't watch 1 second.
You come to this bowl game and you score 16 points and you're the coach and you still have to get doused in mayonnaise. That must be really embarrassing. That must That's be true. Like extremely embarrassing.
I watched this game because my friend was the millionth fan for Duke Mayo. So you had to eat an entire jug of Duke Mayo.
And wait, you know that guy?
Yeah, Jay Arnold.
No way, dude.
Yeah, he used to play football with Manziel at A&M.
That's funny. Yeah. I saw that afterwards, because obviously that was the highlight. I mean, that's a huge jar of mayonnaise they gave that guy. That was like a Costco size.
Yeah, he's
jar.
A real eater.
Yeah, he comes into town. We always get barbecue. Yeah, he was on a soft court history once.
That's funny. Put him on. We'll throw him on here one day. Now we'll get to the big boys here. Now, obviously, we watched all of these. TCU versus Michigan. What'd you think of this game, D'Anthony? I mean, it was a lights out game, but
yeah, this is one of the, well, first of all, just in general, this is the best New Year's Six ever
of all time.
Not just these two, like Iowa Kentucky was kind of bullshit. I don't know if you really consider that a New Year's Six.
Yeah, it's not,
although it happened on New Year's Eve. But Ohio State Georgia was great. TCU Michigan was great. Alabama Kansas State was great. I mean, this is one of the most, and even the Gator Bowl was great. The Orange Bowl was pretty good. I don't know that we've ever seen a New Year's Six
two,
like this.
But both CFP games being arguably the greatest games of all time in the CFP was awesome. So
here's what happened, though, since if we're going to start with TCU.
Yeah, because that was the first game of the day. Yeah. So I watched that, and it went on for fucking ever. I mean, it was like a 4.5-hour extravaganza.
Yeah.
Wives, girlfriends, everything were pissed off at every male in America that day.
Fuck them. If you didn't watch the game, here's what happened. Harbaugh is the worst coach in the fucking world. And I understand Corum's out, but the most effective plays you had in the first half, well, first of all, you came out slinging the ball, which Michigan doesn't do. It's not the style of football they play.
Right.
McCarthy threw more passes in this game Not because they were down. This started at the very beginning of the game when he was throwing fucking pick sixes. He threw more passes in this game than any other game this season except for one, right? And that was a joke of a game. So in every competitive game he's played so far this year, they have run the ball first. And Donovan Edwards had 120 yards on the ground. It wasn't a problem for them to run the ball. As a matter of fact, every time they had a designed run for McCarthy, he fucking lit it up. He's fast as shit. Why are you throwing pick sixes against TCU? Why?
So... I thought, so as far as like Harbaugh, I mean, obviously I hate Michigan, but as far as Harbaugh goes, it was one odd series to me to start the game because they drove down the field. They were on the one, I think it was fourth and one, and he tried a trick play. It was like a Philly special. It looked like it was a Philly special is what they attempted. To your point, that is not in their fucking arsenal wheelhouse.
You run the ball right down the goddamn middle.
That's all you do.
Man.
That's all you do.
I mean, what the fuck? Or kick the field goal and take the points. Either way, right?
And in my opinion, and they turned the ball over. It was fine. In my opinion, this game really, really fucking changed when they disallowed that touchdown. I don't know how you looked at that replay and took that touchdown off the board for Michigan. Because instead of being 14-10, it then becomes 21-3. And that's what caused McCarthy to have to chuck to try to get back into it, and that's not who they are.
A lot of stuff happened between those two things, right? Like, Michigan had the ball on the, what, three-inch line with four downs to get it in?
It was a play immediately after.
Right. So, but you don't get credit for fucking fumbling. Oh, never would have happened if that. No, you have a half a yard to go.
Yeah.
You're Michigan, one of the best running teams in college football.
Don't fumble.
So don't fucking blame that shit on a back. Like, you've got four more opportunities to get that ball in the end zone. I don't buy that shit.
He fumbled. And look, whoever it was fumbled on the 1 yard line. Obviously, TCU recovers. And then you got that pick six there in the first quarter.
Well, no, there were two pick sixes.
There was two pick sixes, but I'm talking about first quarter wise, right? Michigan starts to come back. They get a couple field goals here and there. And at this point, it's 21-6 going into the locker room, and it's not looking good for Michigan. So then they got to huck the ball. Now, the third quarter is where shit got out of control.
That was fun.
It was a blast. It was, I'm going to say this stat, and it's real, 44 points. Mm-hmm. Were scored in the third quarter. I don't know that I've seen a high school, college, or NFL game where both teams collectively scored 44 points in one quarter.
I don't know. I mean, 70 or 69 points were scored in the second half.
Yeah, but
that's an incredible.
I want to say, I'll tell you a game this year that happened.
Yeah,
App State, North Carolina.
Which one?
App State, North Carolina.
Week one. App State alone scored 40 points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, in a quarter? Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, against two high-powered teams like this in the college football playoffs is super unusual. It was a blast to watch. And the odd thing is, with as many mistakes as Michigan made, they still had a shot to win this fucking game at the end. Mm-hmm. This goes back to what you were saying about Harbaugh. When your dad stands up in the stands and is screaming for you to call a timeout,
yeah,
and you're not doing it, like, I'm not sure what was going through his mind for the last...
Speaking about dads, though.
5 minutes of that game.
Imagine if you're J.J. McCarthy right now.
Well, I mean, look, it was an innocent grab. Innocent grab of of his beautiful girlfriend's ass. Was it a finger? It was just a finger, right?
I know.
Right,
I'd be more ashamed of my dad for not being committal.
Right. I mean, you want to go for the full thing. By the way, the reason why they cut away to her is that's the only hot girl that goes to Michigan. They have no other options as far as the cameraman go. When we go to these SEC schools, you can go all around the stadium or Arizona State. You can find all the girls and all that shit. That is the literal only hot girl that goes to Michigan. And the only reason she's going there... because it's a hard school to get into, and so is most Big Ten schools or in Ohio State academically, is because it was J.J. McCarthy's high school girlfriend. So she got put on the old roster there to get into Michigan. But I don't blame the dad for that move. You know, you got to go for that at a certain point there. But it was an oddly coached game. I agree with you as far as homeboy is concerned. My question is this, does he stay?
No.
I don't think so either.
The rumor is, one, he'll accept pretty much any NFL job. That's one layer of rumor. The other rumor is that Denver's getting ready to offer him something like $20 million a year.
Woo.
Just to come coach that team.
Man.
Yeah. Now, there's no salary cap for coaches. It's just the owner gets to decide how much they want to fucking spend.
Yeah. Is that real?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, after the moves that Denver's made, personnel-wise, you got to...
It wouldn't be shocking.
I mean, even with Hackett.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be shocking.
No, it wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be shocking.
But it would be incredibly pointless.
Yes.
Like, he's not coming in and saving that franchise. I don't give a fuck how much. It's like... I get it. You want to lure him over, but $20 million. What's the next highest paid coach? Like 11?
Yeah, I think so. Man, that's
Bill Belichick makes 20.
Oh, he makes 20?
Pete Carroll 15, McVay 14.
Where are you seeing this? I got Bill Belichick at 12.5.
Let me find a different list.
This is from Wolfgang Sport, though. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Well, it's Wolfgang Amadeus' son.
When he runs All right, 12.5. Maybe he, I don't know what that was from then.
Could be incentives.
Yeah, Sean McVay is number one, between 15 and 18 million, depending on incentives, I think.
And he's not going to have a job much longer either.
Well, I think his will be out of choice.
No, he's going to go. I think he's going
to
go somewhere
else. He wants to go to the booth.
I was going to say, he just won a Super Bowl.
Actually. Yeah, I think he wants to go to the booth and host TV. McVay can stay and coach as long as he wants there.
Yeah, it's not because of performance. He's a great coach.
You don't think he's going to tie himself to Baker?
No.
It's just like the Rams and the Broncos have fucked themselves for the next like 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. The Rams don't have anything. All they can do is go to free agency. They don't have any draft picks.
Right.
They can draft second, and I don't even know if they have third rounders. They have fourth rounders at some point.
Yeah.
Like 2 years from now.
Yeah.
They don't have anything.
They have nothing.
So the only way to rebuild this team is by spending more money. Who wants to stick around for that?
Boy. I maybe him. Look, he did have success in the NFL. He won some, what, 2 Super Bowls? Harbaugh?
Harbaugh, yeah.
Yeah. With the 49ers, and then...
I think he's just the one.
Just the one he lost to his brother.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
Oh, yeah, he lost in the, I think he NFC lost the,
championship. Yeah, he lost in the AFC championship. So, I think, look, as far as Harbaugh goes, it's tough. After that presser against Ohio State where he said, we'll never have the personnel... He's right. Like Michigan is not a sexy school where you go there and you see the stadium and you're like, holy shit, I want to be a part of this, or the weight room and all that stuff. Like, the town isn't really that fun there. After watching the Deion Sanders interview with Shannon Sharp in the Colorado locker room with primetime and all the cool fucking shit they have. Holy fuck, dude. If you're an athlete and if you're deciding to go to a school up north, that's probably where you're going, is that. So how much longer does he want to stay and fight the good fight when he can go to the NFL? Yeah. And I think he's gone as well. I think this is it.
My guess is he'll stay as long as Aaron Donald stays, and he'll probably cruise out when he leaves, if I had to guess, right? Because that's when the team will definitely not be good anymore.
Oh, yeah. McVay?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now, as far as Harbaugh.
There's competition, right? I think... We can have this conversation again in week two of the playoffs, because the Cowboys will have lost. Mike McCarthy will have been fired, right?
Yes.
And I really think that Ron Rivera is going to get fired at the Redskins as well. There's like those two jobs. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis is open. Carolina Panthers are open. There's a lot of fucking head coaching jobs.
And the Panthers have already talked to Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So that came out yesterday.
Yeah. The Cardinals
are going to be open. Yeah.
Although I think he's going to go, he'll go somewhere.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, he'll take one of those jobs probably.
He'll get an OC job in college probably.
Sure will. Mm. If I'm Ohio State, you back up the truck for that guy.
That is where he belongs.
It is. As an OC in a pro-style offense, for sure.
But there's a lot of teams that are fucking going to need head coaches.
Yes. Tons.
If Sean Payton's on the list as well for available coaches, he's talked to the Broncos. My understanding is he has,
but they have to give up a draft pick for Sean Payton, and so there is a precedent in place with Gruden, and I think it was either one first round pick or 2 first round picks. That's a lot for a fucking coach. I mean, you're kind of buried for a couple years there unless you have multiple picks.
Yeah,
and there is teams out there that have multiple picks in this draft. Is it Chicago?
Oakland is, or the Raiders are going to need a new coach as well. That dude's fucking gone. McDaniels is a terrible coach. There's no fucking way.
It's only been 1 year.
It doesn't matter. He's one of the worst coaches I've ever seen in my life.
I agree.
The fuck was he thinking? But leaving New England.
They'll give him one more year.
He'll go back to New England.
Yeah.
Where he belongs.
He'll go back, not After next season, I think he'll go.
But he still needs an OC.
Either way, you know, I think a lot of this hinges on whether or not the Cowboys fire Mark McCarthy. I don't think anybody's going to make a decision before that because that's the job.
It is. That's like the job that everybody
wants. If I'm an NFL coach, not just because of the prestige of the Cowboys, but because that is the best roster out there that doesn't have a good coach by far. Like nobody else is even in the same ballpark.
Yeah, because Carolina's terrible. They need new quarterbacks.
Indy's terrible.
Denver's terrible. Nobody like who wants Russell Wilson for the next 3 years. I don't.
The Raiders.
Oh, forget even just Denver being terrible. Who wants to play in the division with Pat Mahomes Justin Herbert?
10 more years. Not me. But with Harbaugh, it's tough to put all of it on him. Blake Corum was out. Schoonmaker, who's their top fucking tight end, and they use tight end sets a lot there. He was out after the first play for the rest of the game. There was some odd calls and shit like that out of Harbaugh himself. But as far as this team, even the backup, and I thought Donovan Edwards is great, but he had a cast on, and he did not have that on during the Ohio State game. So he was wearing a glove. Why they decided to go with a cast is interesting because then you know that you can't throw the ball to him. So why not just leave the cast off? Why show the audience in the coaching staff for the other team that you won't be able to catch balls out of the backfield?
I don't know. But I think the most surprising thing about this is about this game wasn't necessarily Michigan's inability to or they didn't follow their typical game plan at all. It was really like the defense didn't look great. They gave up 263 yards rushing.
But also,
I understand TCU has got DeMarcado is a fucking good running back. I get it, man. But goddamn, like they haven't. Nothing like this has happened to Michigan all season, and this is not what we thought. Like a couple of weeks ago, when Bob was talking about how bad of a matchup for Georgia Michigan is, this is not what you expect. You would expect Michigan to come in and first shut down the run game and then deal with the pass game.
But why
and
they couldn't going do either. One-on-one coverage with Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, the best receiver in the fucking college football.
With no safeties behind the guy or anything?
Seriously.
That touchdown was as bad as the pick sixes.
He's almost like he doesn't have the same muscle mass that DK Metcalf is, but he's that kind of receiver. He is strong as fuck, especially in college. Yeah. Like none of these fucking defensive backs could tackle this guy.
No, he had six receptions for 163 yards. Now, obviously, one of them came on that 76-yard touchdown that we were talking about, and it was a 2-yard dump out.
Yeah.
The DB missed the tackle. There's no safeties in sight, like you were saying, and he just goes to the house it was a fucking one play. That was it. Boom.
Yep.
I'm looking over the numbers here for Michigan. I mean, fuck, 342 receiving, not bad. They don't throw that much. 186 on the ground, not bad.
They had more total yards.
They were basically minus 28 just on their own mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like a hard 28 minus 28.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, for sure. Because I'm looking at like even Duggan's numbers here.
Maybe 31.
Is it Dugan or Duggan? I don't even know this fucking kid's name.
Max Duggan.
He only had 225.
Yeah, he's. I mean, look,
14 for 29. That's not a great game.
Well, he had two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he runs.
He runs, but he had four
total touchdowns. That's
14 of their points were scored by the defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, and then he had two picks on top of it. They're going to get annihilated by Georgia. It was a strange game. It was fun to watch, but it was definitely out of character for Michigan. Part of me wonders if he was, you know, jockeying for an NFL job of like, hey, I can do all the fun stuff too that the NFL stuff does. Like,
he's a legacy NFL. That would be stupid.
I agree.
Who knows? None of it made sense. Like, I understand that you don't have your number one running back, but you do have a running back who is as good as anybody else in the country right now.
Yeah.
Play the game that got you here. What the fuck are you doing? I mean, it's a real.
And he had a good game too. He had 129 yards rushing. You can't ask for much more out of your running back.
It's a real Harbaugh / Shanahan move.
Yeah.
Right? To just try to outsmart everybody and then you outsmart yourself. It's fucking dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. So TCU is in. It's a fun story, but, you know, the point spread came out next week. It's the highest ever. It's 14 points in that one. It's down to
12 and a half now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
We'll get to the Ohio State game here. Look, it's hard to even be pissed off about this game here. Georgia had supposedly the number one defense, 12.7 points a game. All I heard from SEC fans was the number one defense. Ohio State, if you wonder what happens, the number one defense against the number one offense, it's number one offense all goddamn day long. Stroud had 350, four touchdowns, same as he always has. 23 of 34, which is, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's
but not, he was running the ball.
Well, he didn't have a choice. So what the biggest play of this entire game that changed it, Marvin Harrison goes out. So Ohio State loses all six scholarship running backs in the third quarter. They're out. No big deal. They're up 34 to 24. They're up by two touchdowns. Marvin Harrison gets knocked out. Did you think that was a targeting call?
No. Okay. It's very obviously not a targeting, but
defenseless receiver. Any of that?
That it could have been the defenseless receiver, but I don't think college does. College have that? I think
not sure. College has that.
You have to call it on the field. Is what the ruling is. If you're going to look at for targeting, you can't. But that's not what the flag was for. It was for targeting.
I think that's an NFL rule, the defenseless receiver. I don't think that's a college rule. I think it would have been that because he's not looking at you at all.
He was out of bounds too.
Well, so, yeah, either way. But I think it was a good football play.
Yeah. So with this game, he goes out. So there's about, I don't know, 2 minutes left in the third, whatever it is. Ohio State's up by a couple touchdowns. Now, the reason why this play in particular changed the game, not only is the best wide receiver on the planet knocked out of the game, but Ohio State's out of running backs for scholarships at all, so they have to bring in a gunner. A gunner, if you don't know at home, is just a special teams player. They just run down the field, tackle people, whatever. His name is Xavier Johnson, and he's a fifth year. The reason why I laugh is he looks like the drummer from Earth, Wind, and Fire. It looks a lot older than a college kid should be. Fifth year senior. So the reason this changed in the fourth for Ohio State was he's not only the emergency running back, but he's the emergency wide receiver. So without all the scholarship running backs, he's got to come in and play running back, but then he also has to play wide receiver. Whenever he lines up in the backfield, it's a run. Whenever he lines up to receive, it's a throw play. Towards the end, they had to force C.J. Stroud to run, and he does not run the ball at all. He looked like a deer in headlines. He still had 34 yards rushing.
Oh, that one giant run he had that was massive that got you into field goal range?
Right. But that's it. So if you look at it, you know, he is to carry 12 times. He has 34 yards. That one run was for 27 out of the 34.
Yeah.
Here's
the thing, right? You're up 14 with, 8 minutes left in the game?
Yep.
Georgia is forced to kick a field goal. They're still down two scores. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
11-point game.
Yep.
I think at that point, I take Georgia live. They're 6-1 mm-hmm. to win the game.
Yep.
Also, I don't think C.J. Stroud actually rushed 12 times because sacks count.
Sacks count in college.
Oh, so, got it. Okay, so
either way, you're up 11 with, I don't know, like 7 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Like you gotta close that out.
Well, here's the thing. And they tried to, right? So Ryan Day...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Which is unlike Ryan Day, mm-hmm. goes for a fake punt, which they convert on fourth down. Now,
it would have been called back, though.
What's that?
It would have been called back.
It wouldn't have, because there was no flag on the field, and you can't challenge that. So
too many men?
Yeah, you can't challenge. You can challenge it in the NFL. You can't challenge it in college. So with that, there was a timeout called. In my opinion, Kirby Smart saved that season.
Oh, yeah.
And that timeout, because then they would have been able to run out the clock.
Yep.
And then the game is over at that point. Even then, they still needed 15 points. They go down. They needed a 2-point conversion. They got it. They got two scores. The fourth quarter was 18 for Georgia, 3 for Ohio State. And it's right when Harrison goes out. They don't have any running backs at that point. I get it. The biggest shock for me was Stroud driving down the field. 60 yards, and then they still had a shot at a field goal to win.
Yeah, you guys settled for a fucking 50-yard field goal to win the game. What are you doing?
It wasn't settling, though. When you don't have a wide receiver or a running back anymore,
you had Emeka
Ogbuka, who had over 100. He has 1,100 yards on the season, dude. What are you talking about?
He sure does, but that's it. Like, they doubled him up. There was nowhere to go with that ball. Stroud gets chased by Carter.
If somebody's doubled up, that means somebody is open. It doesn't matter how good of a receiver you are.
But who is it?
I don't know. You just moved the ball all the way down into field goal range, and then on first down, you're just like settling. The second down run call, too, was very bizarre.
I think he got to, because that guy, and look, I know that was a bad shank, but he was 23 of 26 on the season. He's as reliable as you get.
That is the worst kick I've ever seen.
Ever.
Ever. People have been posting memes about it from Madden, where it's just the dude, mm-hmm. you just line it all the way. I've never seen a kick that bad. I went back and watched it like 10 times. The hold was fine. I don't know what the fuck. I mean, it sucks for that kid.
It sucks for the kid. And because, look, he was great. Last year, he didn't miss any. He only missed three this year. But he has never in 5 years kicked over 50, is what they said after the game. And for Ohio State fans, because everybody's like, oh, you know, he makes that kick, we go to the national championship. All right, well, hypothetical, let's say that happens. And you play TCU. Who's left to play in that game? I think you would lose.
More five stars.
No, they're out. You're out of scholarship running backs. So that's done. They're not coming back. You don't have Marvin Harrison is in the concussion protocol.
He's got like 8 days to get ready.
No, you don't. It's Monday to Monday. That's it. That's it. They're not going to let him back in the game.
Well, Saturday to Monday.
Saturday to Monday. But still, are you letting him back after a hit that violent? I doubt it.
A natty, they'll let him play.
He wanted to play in the second half of this game.
You would have been favored against TCU.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Probably. But look, and I did the same thing to Michigan. I bet on TCU. I put all of the money on that game against Michigan with that many points. I probably would have done the same. It's probably the same exact spread, to be honest with you.
Here's another. So, by the way, after Harrison went out, the Ohio State comes out in the third quarter and scores 10 more points, including a passing touchdown to Ogbuka, right?
No, it was before he got hurt. So, we were rolling. Georgia didn't score anything in the third quarter. So it was fine. Harrison goes out with about a minute left in the third, and that's where you're out of dudes. So, yeah, I mean, look, the adjustments that were made, and I'm not a big fan of Jim Knowles as the defensive coordinator. Ohio State is 56th ranked in defense.
Yeah, they weren't very good this year.
They weren't. And then you're going up against supposedly, again, the number one team. All you heard out of Georgia was all year long, and I bought into the fucking bullshit and hype too. 12.7 points a game, Ohio State hit 41. Nobody's rushed over 100 yards against Georgia. Somehow, Ohio State runs for 119 yards. Stroud throws, he averages 350 and four touchdowns a game. He hits his average. All that is fine. No turnovers for Georgia. I think that if you want my honest take on Georgia and why they failed, I think it's Jalen Carter. So when I watched that game, Todd McShay said this on the show 2 weeks ago, that he's got character issues and that the character issues were coming from the locker room and that it doesn't work hard enough. He was so gassed at the end of the first quarter, he doesn't line up for half the snaps in this entire game because he's just sucking wind on the sidelines. And if I'm an NFL scout watching all of those games Saturday and I've got the first pick in the draft, I still take Bryce Young over Jalen Carter. Because I know Jalen Carter, they've got him one or two, and Bryce Young one or two, potentially Will Levis. Just based on what I saw Saturday, I still go Bryce Young. Jalen Carter just didn't play. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what to say other than he just didn't work out or didn't do anything for 30 days.
Maybe there's also a big piece of this that we haven't discussed yet, and that is that's Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Who is, I had a conversation about a month ago with Baker about this, about Bennett's overall stats. He goes, yeah, they don't look great if you look at his aggregate for the season, but his numbers in crunch time, like in the third, or I'm sorry, in the fourth quarter especially, he is lights out for some reason.
Yeah, he stunk in the first half.
He stunk in the third quarter. They didn't even score in the third quarter.
But so, for whatever reason, Bennett in the fourth quarter, all season long, actually for his entire NFL, or I'm sorry, for his entire college football career, he's like a 75% completion percentage guy in the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's probably going to turn out that he's like Ken Dorsey and Tebow and fucking Baker, who's a great college athlete. He has that win in him, but just not doesn't have the physical talent to do it at the NFL level. But
yeah, because right now he's not even slated to get drafted in all seven rounds.
He won't get drafted. He'll probably get signed as a free agent, as a backup or something.
I think so too. Yeah.
Even Ken Dorsey got drafted like the fourth round, which is crazy.
Crazy.
He couldn't throw the ball 40 yards.
No. And
but Bennett is a fucking competitor, man.
He is. And look, to score, what is it, 15 points in the last 4 minutes or whatever it is, like, and then get the 2-point conversion and all that other shit, like, absolutely.
But and after watching so many guys, like, especially in the NFL, after watching when Dak Prescott, for example, is in those pressure situations and he's running and he's got to throw a pass and the game's on the line, sails it. Or spikes it into the ground every single time. Stetson Bennett never does that.
Right.
Never. He always makes the right pass. I mean, it's fucking... It sucks that he's not 2 inches taller, to be honest. Because he's just not going to be able to play in the NFL like this, but...
He should never leave Athens. Just stay there.
Yeah, but everybody who was like, hey, CJ Stroud had a great game, their completions and attempts are identical. 23. They're both 23 of 34. Here's the other odd thing that struck me about Georgia is besides their offense, because I think their offensive line is good. I think their defensive line is good. Their secondary is horrific. Yeah. And that's how you beat this team. Mm-hmm. And that's how Alabama smashed them last year in the SEC championship is they just lit it up the entire time. And ironically, they also scored 41 points against them. And they lost their best receiver, Jameson Williams, in the second quarter with a torn ACL after that 50-yard bomb. But going through the rest of this, who do you draft skill-wise besides Brock Bowers off of this? Like, you don't have a rusher that was over 100 yards. Arian Smith is their big receiver, and he came back and played and was good. Mm-hmm. He had 3 for 129. But who's the skill position for Georgia that makes an impact in the NFL besides Brock Bowers?
Well, that you're asking, like, which skill position players from the Ravens are going to go to the Pro Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is, I guess, none, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But they're making the playoffs. So it's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that
yeah.
isn't always a good marker for excellence.
And it's true.
Even the years where where Alabama or Ohio State or whomever it is has like a great quarterback plus two great receivers and a running back, that doesn't necessarily mean they're successful that year. A lot of stuff has to happen to be successful on the football field.
A lot.
And Kirby Smart is in the process right now. We'll see what happens in this upcoming week.
I like Kirby Smart a lot.
Yeah, we'll see what happens this upcoming week, and we'll see what happens over the next year or two after this. But he is taking over as the best coach in college football.
Well, right now. And I think the reason why is you come from that Saban tree where you're just a fucking asshole. The first thing that he said as soon as they stuck the microphone in his face after the win was, we shouldn't have won that game. We did not deserve to win that game. And then when he got back to the locker room, the first thing he said was, you guys are an embarrassment. And if you play like that next week, you're going to get beat. Yeah. You will not win a national championship.
People were fucking lighting him up for how he was talking. Like, Stetson Bennett just won, they came back and won the game for you.
But there was a play that something happened. Stetson Bennett didn't do what he said, and he was chewing his ass out on the sideline.
He was telling him to follow the game plan, which is, you know, look, they got extremely lucky in this game.
Yes.
Not to say that Georgia's success, generally speaking, is based on luck. They're a very good team, obviously. But in this game, they were very fortunate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This could have gone horribly for them. This is a couple of moves in the wrong direction, and they would have lost this game by 20 points.
Easily.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, Kirby Smart wants to fucking win.
Yes.
His job is to win. His job is not to create NFL players. His job is not to coddle young men.
Yep.
His job is to win fucking football games.
And that's what Saban does.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. He doesn't care if you're going to the NFL. The other thing too,
this is why Dabo is never going to win like three or four or five titles.
Oh, he's just not a fucking asshole.
He's too worried about fucking doing the gritty and being buddies with his team. Kirby Smart doesn't give a fuck if his players like him.
No.
Like, you may not like me, but you will fucking respect me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how you win, dude.
And I like Kirby Smart for it because that's what you hope for. And, like, does he have the relationship with these guys? Probably not, dude, because who fucking cares? The other one, too, was, did you see Saban after they gave the Orange Bowl trophy out? Or what was it, the Sugar Bowl trophy out? He looked so angry that he had to even be on that stage at that point. He did not give a fuck about the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Did not give a fuck about the trophy.
But he still went out and won the game by 3 scores.
Sure did.
Because that's what you fucking do.
Yes.
There's a phrase, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't train hard, if you don't practice hard, if you don't prepare yourself, how you do the little things ends up being how you do the big things. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, Saban or Smart would have been really good military leaders, because that's the attitude you have to have to do that job.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, who cares if the fucking if my uniform's taken care of, or who cares if my gun's this or this or this or whatever the fuck. It's like, it's not about the individual thing. It's about the totality. It's about your attitude and how you approach things in life.
Yeah.
And if you want to be successful, look, you don't have to do this. But if you want to be successful at the highest level, you do have to do this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to fucking fail.
And then the last note on this game before we get to the national championship here is, I know they said this 30 fucking times throughout the telecast. Imagine if Jaxon Smith-Njigba played and Travion Henderson, and it's like they wouldn't have won by fucking 90. It would have been a video game. But, like, you look at the character of a Jaxon Smith-Njigba versus the character of a Bryce Young and everything else. The first thing I did after these bowl games was over, I looked at that draft board and I was hoping Jaxon Smith-Njigba fell off the fucking board, right? Fell out of the first round altogether. They still got him going to fucking Baltimore at 15 somehow. And it's just like, fuck that guy. He's a quitter, all that other shit. Yes, they would have won by fucking 90 goddamn points, but
yeah,
he quits. What do you want to say?
And I don't
think he's a fucking pussy.
That move almost certainly won't happen because Baltimore is not going to have a quarterback, right? Because
Lamar Jackson, do you think he's not coming back?
No, would you?
I think they'll franchise him, and if I'm him, I sit out. But we'll see.
There's no fucking way he's playing there.
We'll see. All right, let's get to the big game here Monday night. This is TCU against Georgia. Spread is down to 12.5. Opened up at 13.5 here for Georgia. Who you got in this one here? This is all on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit here, up to $1,000.
As far as winning the game, obviously, no. I mean, it's hard to imagine Georgia losing this game, especially
this game.
Like the way Kirby behaved in victory the other day, not being satisfied like that, means that he, like all everybody else, knows that Georgia could have played that much better.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Duggan doesn't have the ability to go over the top on them. He was 14 for 29.
Yeah.
Against
he only had 225 against Michigan. And Michigan's defense is usually pretty decent.
Yeah, but they have the same issues that Georgia has, which is, you know, if you can get past their linebackers, you got a shot.
Yes.
But Duggan's not that guy. He's not gonna torch you through the air like that. So it's a bad matchup for TCU.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're gonna lose by fucking 2 scores. This is still gonna be a competitive game, but there's no way fucking Georgia's losing this game.
I agree.
There would have to be some like major injuries or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, the way to beat Georgia, at least the last 2 years, is just the pro style offense. Like Alabama and great receivers, Ohio State and great receivers. You can torch their secondary because they just don't have one deep. Yeah. And like the fucked up thing is you have Quentin Johnston in this game.
And he's the best deep receiver in college football.
And he's the strongest. So yeah, like he could certainly terrorize this fucking secondary. Mm. And if I'm TCU, you have nothing to lose. Just go up top to him the same way Ohio State was going to Marvin Harrison.
If I'm TCU,
just go.
He's running posts the entire game. And it's
a pass interference, or he's going to catch it.
It's Duggan running the ball on design runs.
Yep.
And then handing the ball off sometimes and fucking throwing deep to this guy. That's how you win this game.
Yes.
Right. But even then, the margin is so slim. They have to play a perfect game.
Here's where the fall off happens for TCU. Because I think Quentin Johnson certainly has the talent for it. Duggan's a gamer and he's like a Stetson Bennett. He'll try his fucking hardest until he gets pounded into the ground. Here's where TCU loses this game. Ohio State is the best offensive line in college football. They were able to keep everybody away from Stroud mostly the entire game. Nobody had any turnovers for Ohio State in this game. Their offensive line is great. TCU's isn't, and it's not going to hold up. I think it'll hold up for two quarters, and I think where Georgia really blows this out of the water is in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, what's his nuts? The defensive tackle for Georgia that we were just talking
Jalen
about.
Carter.
Jalen Carter. Yeah. Has not been playing all that well.
No.
And he's the critical key. It's not the edge rusher. The edge rushers will collapse the pocket. That's going to happen. Will Jalen Carter be there to clean up the mess?
Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to be on the fucking sideline. You know what I mean?
Huffing. Yeah. Because
this isn't CJ Stroud. This is fucking Max Duggan who can run the ball.
He can run. So, CJ Stroud cannot run. He never runs the ball.
This is why, you know, Bob made the point. I brought it up earlier that Michigan would have been a matchup problem for Georgia's because JJ McCarthy can also run like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. That guy runs like a deer. So, you know, a lot of this game hinges on whether or not Jalen Carter is in game shape.
Yeah.
Or if he's going to be huffing and puffing on the sideline.
Because if you're TCU, you've got a decent running back. Again, it's their O-line that's going to be the problem. But this kid, if he can run around, find Quentin Johnson deep on all these plays, they're going to be in this for a while. So what do you do with this point spread? How do you bet this game, you personally?
Well, right now it's 12.5.
It is. The over-under 62.5, which seems like a lot.
I agree. So I'll probably take the over up to 69.5.
Nailed it.
And take it under. And then I'll I'll take TCU plus 19.5 and parlay that.
Any shot this is a 3-score game?
There's always a shot.
No, I know there is. It's just the O-line holding up long enough that they can even just keep it within a 3-score game.
Well, has TCU played anybody this year that has a great pass rush?
No.
Are you seeing Tarleton doesn't have a...
I mean, Kansas State has a very good defense.
That's true, but they scored 38 points against Kansas State.
Not only that, but Alabama just wipes Kansas State.
Well, they played Baylor. They scored 29 on Baylor. That's another good one.
Yeah,
Baylor's got a good fucking down line.
All right, so I think, all right, knowing that, here's where I will go with this then. I'm going to take Georgia down to, because I want to, I'll throw money on the whole thing and have it on in the background Monday night. I'm going to take Georgia down to 5.5 and tease this down to 5.5. Tease the over-under up to 69.5 and take the under in that one. And I think that's where I'm going to live with this game, just in case. Their O-line can hold up a little bit. They have a decent running back here.
I'm not sure if the O-line is going to be that big of a deal unless Jalen Carter really shows out. I mean, Duggan runs. He's not a bootleg runner. He runs between the – he's like J.J. McCarthy.
He runs
between the tackles. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like if Jalen Carter is not on it making those tackles or at least being in the fucking way, they might be fucked. So, not losing fuck, but they may be like they're not going to win by two scores.
This
fuck.
Miller kid who's got, you know, close to 1,400 yards on the season rushing is listed as questionable for Monday's game.
Everybody's questionable.
Undisclosed. What did he do in the Michigan game here? Let me pull up those. I just want to see what TCU? The running back. Yeah, I just want to see what their running back.
He had 150 yards on 17 carries against Michigan.
So he's fine.
It's questionable is bullshit. Miller, undisclosed, questionable, whatever.
All right. So, yeah, I think either are fine. I think if you go 19.5, you're fine. I think you go 5.5, you're fine. But I definitely think Georgia wins this game. And yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah. I mean, this could get ugly fast, though. Who knows? With TCU, who knows?
I mean,
who knows? I mean, I'm going to bet it because that's what we do, and we're disgusting people. But that's where I'm going to go: 5.5, and then the under of 69.5.
They'll never be back here. Like, yeah. These players have to know that. They'll never be back.
Yeah, that's weighing on my mind now. I'm thinking about, like, even if Georgia, like, in a normal national title game, if somebody gets up three scores and it's getting late, it's like, all right, fuck it. We're just going to run the ball and
pack it in.
Yeah, but I don't think TCU will do that. I think they're going to backdoor cover.
Okay.
It's just like this school, this is a once in a literal program situation for them. And that's not to discount TCU, but it's just like, I mean, they're not a blue blood. It's just, this is a miracle season. I'm really interested to see. I was really impressed with their defensive line against Michigan. Like, those dudes were getting in there, getting after it. I didn't realize how good their defensive line was.
Well, it's because, for a lot of reasons, they are pretty good, but J.J. McCarthy just taking off on design quarterback runs in the first quarter would have shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm interested in, though, is that Bennett doesn't run. Right. Yeah. So if they can get pressure on Bennett early, and I mean, look, they, in a lot of ways, they survived that Michigan game, right? Yeah. They just kept stacking points, and they gave themselves enough of a cushion to fend off what was an inevitable Michigan comeback.
And again, Michigan was without Corum, and then Schoonmaker went down after the first fucking catch. And So who knows what that game could have been either. With that, yeah, I think I've got to go 5.5 Georgia, and then under 69.5. And I think final, what do you got final score wise?
I think it's going to be probably something like 35-30 in that range.
You think it's going to be that close?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like 38-14. Yeah. That's right.
I think TCU is going to score.
I think they will score a couple times, right? And then I think the O-line, it'll just be too much.
We'll see.
Georgia's defensive line is huge. And they just keep leaning on you. They just don't have an offensive line like in Ohio State. Like they're going to get overwhelmed.
Yeah. Very possible.
But you got Quentin Johnson, so it's like, dude, chuck it. Just chuck it. Just do what Ohio State did. Just chuck it. Do what Alabama did. Chuck it and go for the best. If you throw picks, you throw picks. What do you care?
Yeah, I mean, the even then, the problem is, look at, even against Michigan, Quentin Johnson had 163 yards.
Mm-hmm.
The next highest total was 34 yards.
I know. They don't have a number two guy. Mm. And that's what happened to Ohio State when they ran out of, when Marvin Harrison went out. Abuka's really good. He's a true freshman. He's going to be great for years. But after that, you kind of fall off there. So you're similar situation here. Yeah. That's final answer here. Final answer is I'm teasing it both ways. Georgia -5.5, under at 69.5. And let's fucking go. Would I love to see a dream game and TCU win? Sure. Just because of the hilariousness of it.
That would be great. Yeah.
And it would ruin every Texas fan. Like, it would ruin their lives forever. Yeah. That's the team in of Texas. To win a national championship would be TCU. It would be hilarious, and that's what I'm rooting for. I wouldn't even care about losing the money at that point, just for the comedy of it.
But the reality is Georgia's going to win the game, and that's going to make the SEC 7-5 in bowl season, which would be the best record in bowl season, one. And two, for all these people that keep saying that the SEC is not deep, it's not better than all the other conferences, 12 of the last 15 titles, SEC, 5 different teams. More different teams from the FCC have won the title in the last 15 years than all other conferences combined have won any title.
Uh-huh.
So shut the fuck up. We're not rooting. People are like, oh, why are you rooting for a conference? I'm not rooting for a conference. I'm putting numbers on the wall and telling you which one's bigger than the other one.
Sure.
That's it. Shut the fuck up.
It was just a down year for them this
year.
God
damn it.
That's all.
But
it
barely.
Was not a down year.
But sure was. Barely.
It was sure not was. A down year.
If Florida's real team plays, they win that game. That would make them 8-4, right? In bowl season. Like, this is fucking nonsense.
I don't know. It was 30-3 in that game. It was 30-0 in that game.
Who was playing quarterback for Florida?
Florida started out the year beating Oregon State's conference champion.
Yeah. Florida was a good team.
Oregon State's conference champion.
You mean the Pac-12?
What is that?
The Pac-12
conference champion. Yeah.
Oh, the Pac-12.
I feel the same way about the Pac-12 as I do about like the Big 12. Where it's just
how do you feel about the Big 10 then?
The Big 10 was 5-4. The ACC was 5-4. The Big 12 was 2-6.
Again, records in bowl season don't.
Of course
mean
they
shit.
Don't.
They don't mean any. Like I'm none just of these bowl games mean anybody.
The only evidence that anybody ever puts up to say that the SEC is not as good as everybody thinks they are is their record in the bowl season. But even this year, in a what I would agree because of Alabama's a relative down year for them, mm-hmm. like the fourth best team in the SEC is LSU this year. The fourth best team in the Big 12 was Purdue, and they played each other. Do you see what happened?
I didn't watch.
They beat them like 1,000 fucking points. If you take the fourth place team from each conference all the way down the list, the SEC wins 80% of those games. So I don't want to hear that it's top heavy. It is top heavy in the sense,
It's top heavy in every conference,
right? Like, but the bottom part of the fucking SEC is still better than every other conference.
Because I mean, let's see here. You got Alabama down here for Alabama, right? I think we can all agree on that.
No. Yes, it's not a national championship, but they're still they're going to end up being a top six team in the country.
Yeah, but for Alabama,
the playoff is a down year.
They
have the best coach of all time in the history of college football. Like, I don't think there's any debate about that, right? Nick Saban is the best coach of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For now, I think Kirby can catch him.
Yeah.
How many Sabans? I think he's got seven.
Mm-hmm. And Kirby's about to have two. Right.
Yeah. Well,
and he's 47. Right, he's 30, almost 30 years younger.
They shouldn't have won Saturday night. I mean,
we'll see.
Well, they're going to win. They're going to beat TCU.
They're going to, I know, but they shouldn't even won Saturday night's game.
Well, nobody's going to remember that. In 10 years, when fucking Kirby Smart has four or five titles, nobody's going to remember that he shouldn't have won one of the semifinals.
I mean, held out to Alabama fans last year. I mean, Alabama beat the shit out of them, and then they were forced to play him 3 weeks later.
Dude, I mean, Nick Saban's gotten lucky, too. Like, in 2012, didn't win the SEC, didn't even win his division, and got to play in the BCS National Championship game against LSU, who beat them in the regular season and won the conference championship.
I agree. And
Saban's got lucky, too.
I was at the game, and Colt McCoy broke his... It was Texas in 2012, correct?
No, Texas was 2009. I'm talking about in 2012 when LSU played Bama in the Natty.
They shouldn't have been in either of those games, to be honest with you. Like, I was at that Texas game, and I told... There was some Texas fans that I was with, and I go... Man, Texas was going to win that fucking game, dude. Look, winning a national championship takes an incredible amount of luck as well and health. But Saban is the best out of those, 12 titles you have? I think he's got seven of them, right?
Yeah, his first one.
He had with LSU.
He had one with LSU.
Yeah,
2003.
Six with Bama.
But if you're looking at the rest of these teams, Bama down year, Arkansas was, 6-6 this year?
Arkansas was a disappointment this
year. Auburn.
Auburn disappointment, Florida Gators disappointment.
No, Tennessee
Auburn wasn't a disappointment.
Yeah, Auburn was what we thought they were
just terrible.
Yeah, they weren't going to be good this year. But Tennessee was out of nowhere, fucking incredible.
Yeah, I mean South Carolina had an okay year.
Florida
Kirby Smart is 47. He's about to win his second national title. When Nick Saban won his second national title, he was 58 years old.
It's just hard.
I know it is, he's doing it for the second straight year in a row with a team that doesn't really make sense why he's doing it.
I know. There is no superstars.
I get it. Well, I mean, at some point, though, Georgia's going to get the superstars, too, because that's the kind of thing. Like when
I wonder, though, is this the new recruiting plan where you just go after D lines?
What do you mean by superstars? Because their O-lines. Defense is full Fair of enough. Superstars.
That's what I'm saying. But like when we think of superstars, we think of quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, all those guys.
That's a fair point. They are getting superstars, just not the kind of.
Does it change? I guess does college football change? Because Michigan did the same thing this year, and I said that about the Ohio State game where. Yeah. You're a team full of, 3 and 4 stars, but the defense was lights out for Michigan most of the year except for this last game.
Georgia's getting nothing but 5 stars.
I get it.
And think about this too. Take this into consideration. The next time a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence pops up in Georgia, you think he's going to Clemson? Probably not. He's probably going to Georgia, who's just won 2 national
titles
in a row.
Especially with the Jesus bullshit that Donald pulls.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like once you get a commit, a 5-star commit like Lawrence on your team, even committed to your team, that's when the other guys start showing up as well. So it's like he's maybe a draft class or a recruiting class away from having a great offense as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Saban's never had a problem putting up great offenses and great defenses at the same time. He's one of the only guys in history that have been able to do both.
Well, he made the switch right around 2015-16 to finally
do offense, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And get into a pro-style offense, whereas Georgia hasn't done that. And they're winning.
I mean,
they don't have the talent to do it, right?
What?
Georgia, you think
Georgia, the state of Georgia is one.
Yeah, the state.
The state of Georgia certainly.
I'm just saying that they haven't. Well, maybe that's a flaw there, that they haven't recruited that way.
They have.
No, because even like take Stetson Bennett. Like all we heard all year long,
they just don't have a quarterback.
That's what I'm talking about.
But from Georgia fans, because the guy was nominated for a Heisman, but every Georgia fan this year, over and over and over again, said, "I hate Stetson Bennett. I hate him. Bench him for somebody else." I don't know who their backup is because he hasn't played.
You know who was a stud in high school and like a giant name in high school that went to Georgia eventually and transferred and is now on his fourth school? JT Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Names sometimes don't matter at quarterback position, but when Bowers goes to the NFL, he's going to be like a top five tight end.
Yep.
Bowers is great. But that's the only skilled position player that I think you'd draft from that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, how many great skill position players did Alabama have back in the day? Like, it's just that type of roster.
Yeah, but that changed for Saban at some point.
But now Kirby's
going to do it. Now that they're winning, yeah, they're just going to get all these.
That's like, what I'm saying. Now that there's prestige, like I wouldn't consider Georgia a blue blood school necessarily.
Not yet. Yeah, me neither.
But they win this year, and then they get a good recruiting class, and they put together a good offense to match their good defense next year.
Yeah.
Even if they don't win the title again. For the next couple of years, it's a blue blood school at that point. I think
it'll get there, and you know, and a lot of people in the SEC,
blue bloods are Ohio State, Alabama, really only two that I could think of.
Now, I mean, that are just there like every single year,
year in, year out. Teams that are definitely that have great offense and usually great defense at the same time that are competitive at the CFP level. It's usually those two schools.
But blue blood is like old money. It's schools that have been around forever.
I understand that, but things are different.
Well, look,
now.
Michigan before their fucking run.
Michigan
used to be great.
Once Harbaugh's gone, Michigan's gonna fucking take off. They're gonna be fucking great.
But who do they get as coach there?
There's so many coaches available.
But there's nobody good in, and that's why I'll go back to Lincoln Riley, right? Like Lincoln Riley is a top five coach because there isn't anybody else. Mm-hmm. You have Saban, now you have Kirby Smart, you have Dabo Sweeney, even though you might not like him, he's got two titles.
He's the one that's going back to Alabama
to take over for Saban.
He's got like Kirby's not going to leave.
No. I don't think Kirby's going to leave either. I'm with
like
you.
Like he cemented
I would put
his
Dabo
position.
There, yes.
Kirby played at Georgia.
Clemson's going to get your
Kirby
you're,
played at Georgia.
Yep.
Kirby about, played at Georgia. He's not going anywhere.
You're about to get Clemson back to its old ways of 8-4 every year.
That's very possible, right, but Dabo still has prestige.
And I think Klubnik is going to be good.
Like
man.
Do you know how many college football coaches that are active right now have national titles? It's not many. Like LSU's national titles, one of them went to Alabama. He's there now, and the other one's fucking done. Nobody knows where
Urban
that guy is.
Urban Meyer is number two behind Saban right now, and he doesn't have a job.
I would love if Urban Meyer went to Michigan. That would be so goddamn funny. I
mean, not a million.
Brian Kelly is going to win a national championship at LSU.
100%.
Very likely. I agree with that. I think maybe next year. Actually.
Yeah, like really, maybe next year. Yep.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
He's
look at
really
the
good.
Morons. Like the last LSU coach to win is illiterate.
Ed Orgeron and Les Miles eats grass.
Hey, well, look. I mean, he's horses eat grass.
Yeah, horses eat grass.
What do you think? Horses
fine.
Are smart? Fuck you.
They're fine. I think Urban at Texas would do it. I think he could do it.
Dude, fuck Urban. Urban's not good. Like Urban was, but I think he's maybe the worst NFL coach of all time.
And so is Saban. Saban's number two.
But no, Urban's got titles.
No, Saban not was, even close.
Bobby Petrino.
Not even fucking close.
Bobby Petrino left midway through the season.
And that's fine. There's a million of them. Urban Petrino was awful, and Petrino was the Falcons coach. So I can agree with you on that.
And he left what, like week 13 or something?
Saban was the one who traded what, 5 picks for fucking Ricky Williams? Was that him?
No.
Yeah.
What? No.
That wasn't Saban. Saban just made the wrong choice between Drew Brees and Dante Culpepper. Yeah.
That was fucking Mike
Ditka.
What was the right choice?
Well, because like at the time, Drew Brees' shoulder was all fucked, and he couldn't pass any type of like, I don't know, like doctor and
That's the same shit people said about fucking Drew Brees, though, when they San Diego drafted Phillip Rivers. Like, oh, Drew Brees, is his arm's fucked up. He's not going to be any good. Then he went on to throw for 60,000 more yards.
Right, then he fucked up his fucking shoulder again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but it was 40.
No. This is before he went to the Saints. This is way before.
He
so, like, he was going to go to the Dolphins, and then he couldn't pass his physical.
Yep. Urban won titles with two different universities. There aren't a whole lot of people in the history of college football that have done that. So he's clearly a very good college coach. Now, did he lose? Part of it is the prestige, right? Like how the players see you. Did he lose some of that by being the most incompetent NFL coach we've ever seen?
Who?
Urban Meyer. If he walks into the locker room with a bunch of college kids and like, man, this is that fucking retard that was kicking people. Fuck him.
No, I think he gets it back by going there. And I think he wins when he goes back. But the SEC also has 14 fucking teams in this conference. Like, it's a lot.
Well, it's going to be 16, including Texas. Jesus, Urban doesn't want that fucking smoke.
You're going to have Texas and Urban's Oklahoma there.
I hope Urban goes to fucking Michigan, dude. Just do it.
He's not going to do it.
Who cares?
He hates Michigan.
Everybody hates Michigan.
I think he goes, realistically, I think Sark has got one more year, and then I think he goes to Texas.
But I mean, like, what does Urban hating mean anything? Urban loves his wife. Look what he does to her.
Fair enough. Like, yeah. Well, love, it doesn't. There's no evidence he loves
but
his wife.
Any, any coach.
There's evidence to the contrary of anything.
Any coach that's willing to cover up murders, I want on my side. Any day of the week.
I mean, he's about winning at the end of
the day. That's it, yeah. It's just win. That's Kirby Smart. That's like Saban.
He's not a police officer. His job is to win games, not to patrol for murder.
And if let's say Urban doesn't go to the NFL, the top three coaches in college football are Urban, Saban, and Kirby Smart. Dabo. Dabo Sweeney. Look, we hate Dabo, but he's got two titles.
Yeah.
That team looks decent
next year. That's why I think he's going to Alabama. Fucking Saban's got he's 72. He's got to retire sometime soon, right? And
it's not going
to
be next
year. Dabo is the one with the ties to the university that has the titles. He's the only one. Mm-hmm. Like Kirby is from the coaching chain, but he played at Georgia. He's never leaving Georgia.
Right.
He'd be crazy to leave.
Right. I agree.
Within like 5 years, Dabo's going to be at Alabama.
There. You don't leave the school you played for. So.
Well, Dabo played at Alabama and coached there. Really? Yeah, he was a wide receiver at Alabama.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Dabo probably ends up taking that job in the long run, gets out of Clemson, and then goes there.
He would be smart to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And then with 12 teams, by the way, in the playoffs, let's face it, everybody makes it. They're all participation trophies at this point.
Yeah, but this year, I understand. Like, look at
You know Clemson, if we had the 12 this year, Clemson would have been the 3 seed.
Yeah, and Penn State would have been in it. And look at how close. Look at Georgia almost lost, right, to a team that should not have been there. Yep. If USC wins its fucking conference championship, Ohio State's not even there. Correct. Georgia almost loses to them.
Yep.
TCU beats the number 2 team that everybody thought couldn't get beat by a team like TCU. So I think Dan actually posted about it at Drinkable Sports the other day, but the New Year's Six this year was a really good advertisement for the 12-team playoff.
I mean, look at Alabama. They could be in the fucking
Alabama easily could have come back as a 5 or 6 seed and won the title this year. Not easily, but they could have done it.
They could have gotten close. My only concern going forward is, so let's take Georgia and TCU because they're in the natty here. This will be their 15th game. Mm-hmm. NFL used to play 16 games up until a year ago. Mm-hmm. And so when they added two, like, is this going to be too much on college athletes? I mean, you're playing a full NFL season now with the third. Let's say when you go to 12 and you got through and you were the TCU of the year, that would be your 16th game technically. Like, what's too much for a college athlete?
Well, for Jalen Carter, it's 14 games because that's how many they played so far.
I think he sat out some of those too. Yeah. Like, ugh.
It's like, get your shit together.
What happens there? So that it could. Thinking about it now in reverse, it could leave the door open for some of these weird teams to get in. Who knows?
I'm telling you. And
it might.
There's going to be upsets. Maybe not in the first round so much, but in the second round, there's going to be upsets.
Yeah. 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 Because, I mean, look, USC ended up getting beat by Tulane in this game.
Yeah, but they didn't fucking pay much attention
to
that
game. Yes, they did. They gave a total fuck about this game. They were up big. And they blew it. Fucking Caleb Williams played. Everyone played. He threw for 5 touchdowns, 500 and some yards. You can't tell me USC didn't give a shit about this game.
Well, they cared about scoring points. I guess they never really played defense, though.
Nobody in the Pac-12 plays defense, though. That's the Pac-12.
UCLA had a decent defense this year.
Not great.
They didn't perform all that well.
Look at Washington for next year. They were 11-2. Penix is coming back. He's probably, I would put some money on him to win the Heisman.
Yeah, he's probably a good choice. Either him or May are probably the top choices of Vegas right now.
Well, yeah. Caleb will be number one for sure, right?
He's going to have better. He's going to have
never had back to back, but he's going to have a fucking squad.
He'll have better skill position players than Drake May is going to have at North Carolina.
I don't know why Drake May stayed. Take the money and go play and win a title somewhere.
I guess. Who cares?
Yeah.
He's North Carolina is a safe place for him to stay. There's not a lot of pressure. He can keep doing this. He's going to get drafted in the first round. Why fuck that up?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Either way, it'll be interesting to see, and then it'll be interesting to see the way their bodies hold up over that many games just for college kids. Mm-hmm. It gets you prepared for the NFL. It'll certainly shorten your NFL career, though.
Yeah.
Playing this many games. Holy shit.
Probably.
I don't think we've ever seen somebody play 15 games, right? Nobody's ever gone 15-0, right? Yeah. Or 15?
Yes.
Last year, Georgia was 14-1, I think, right?
Yeah, they were, but I mean a long, long time ago. They were like 15-0 teams when the schedules were all over the fucking place.
Okay.
I miss when teams win national championships going 2-1.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. But, in the NFL, if you're playing for one of the top 7 teams in your conference, you're playing at least 18 games now, not just 16 like you used to be, right?
Yeah.
So,
LSU went 15-0.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And if you're a good playoff team, then you play 19 or 20 or 22 games in a season sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Or I guess, if you were a wild card team, you would end up playing 22.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's still 21. It's 21, still 21, but still, yeah. That's a lot of fucking games.
A lot of fucking games. And a lot of injuries, too. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see here. Giorgio said something a few weeks back about adding more scholarships. I think if you're going to continue to play this amount of games,
depth is going to matter.
Yes.
Absolutely not. You do not need more scholarships. You just got to get the kids to play. You can't have 16 full ride players not even dressed for the game.
Why not?
I mean, you can. That's physically what it is right now. I don't think you need more than that.
Who gives a shit about scholarships? Just up it.
Yeah.
Just
what up are you concerned that these universities aren't making enough money?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I'm concerned by the I believe the allotment might be taken from other sports.
Good, because this one makes money. Why are you entitled to a fucking scholarship just because you do your hobby? Fuck off, dude. Kidding me?
And I mean, with the conference realignment, imagine being like a U.S. or like a UCLA or USC like tennis player, and you got to go to Rutgers.
Yeah, that's going to be rough. You're fucked.
Just that travel schedule is going to be fucked.
They won't have tennis programs anymore. Their scholarships will go to football.
Yeah, they're not. Why do you think that they're just going to run out of scholarships?
Yeah, who cares?
I think I'm not up to date on this as I should be, but I believe there is a rule in Title IX where you have to have equivalent amount of female and male scholarships.
Yeah, there is, but you can increase the amount of total scholarships you have as well, right?
Yeah,
also based upon each school and each sport. Each sport is designated a certain amount of scholarships.
Yeah, they just need to change the rule. That's not what I said.
Just change the rule and give more scholarships
to
everybody.
The NCAA is going to be irrelevant in a year or two.
Probably.
Yeah, they're clawing and scratching to try to remain relevant right now, and they're just failing miserably
at it.
They
need a broadcast deal.
Well, it's interesting you said that.
The conferences all have their own broadcast deals.
They do,
deals,
yeah.
Right?
And
take away from them.
Did you see the numbers, too? Ohio State, Georgia was the second highest rated CFP game of all time.
Yeah,
in the history
needs to come in with the big wang, put it on the table, and be like, yeah, no conference rights.
But they don't have a big wang. That's the problem. The conferences adjudicate all their own issues for the most part, unless it's extreme shit.
They don't even run the playoff.
They've been trying to get Notre Dame to join a conference for 35 fucking years. And Notre Dame, the one school, is just like, nah, we're not doing that.
Nah,
fuck you.
We're good, fam.
Because of that TV contract. Yep. They're never going to fucking do it.
Yep. Even though 22 million people watch
you have to let them not play. You have to if you put the rules down and you go, if you don't want to abide by them, you can go start some other league by yourself.
And they will.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That will be great. That will be the live golf of NCAA sports. And I'm here for that.
It's just the SEC.
Yeah. Just the SEC.
I will report on that. That will be interesting. That will be drama.
The SEC is just, it kind of reminds me of the state of Texas. They're always like one bad decision from the NCAA from seceding.
Yeah. Well, they almost did it during COVID.
Yeah.
Which, with this Kevin Warren bullshit they were like, oh, Big Ten president, get him the fuck out of here. He was the guy that wanted to sit out. So get him out of there. Go to the Bears. The Bears are the Bears.
They're good at basketball now, too.
Who?
The SEC.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you got 84 fucking teams in the goddamn conference.
Well, so. It used to be just Kentucky. And then Florida, Kentucky, and every now and again, Florida would be good, but Kentucky's not even good anymore.
And then the Big Ten, too, will be, who are they adding? USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington now. So it's like, well, you'll be down to
Washington, but yeah, probably
be down, Washington. But you'll be down as essentially to what, three big conferences?
Wait, is Texas joining the SEC in basketball as well?
Everything,
yeah, everything,
yeah, everything. Texas and OU, and by the way, OU has Loyola Chicago's old coach. He's been there a couple of years. What's his name?
Porter Mosier.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be stacked.
Mm. So you're going to have essentially three leagues that have fucking 16 teams apiece, and it's like. They might start their own. It's not that far-fetched. We'll see.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah, thanks for joining us, kids. Appreciate it. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS doubles your first deposit up to $1,000. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. Just click a 5-star and then walk the fuck away. It's all the advertisers give a shit about. NFL will be tomorrow, I think. We're checking on this Bengals-Bills game, and we'll see what happens with that and what the NFL is going to do. Ton of money already bet on it. I know my bookie has refunded the money. A lot of questions came in about that. They've refunded the money. Now, if they do pick it up, the score remains the same. So I want to let you know that. It will be 7-3 Cincinnati, and then they'll continue. They're not going to just start the game over. And it'll be odd to see. So I don't know what happens, to be honest with you. But we'll hopefully have some info tomorrow. So check out the NFL show tomorrow. We'll see you then, kids. For Danthony and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports College Football Bowl Season Roundup and National Championship Preview Show. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.